Welcome to Speak for Yourself from the Crib. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley on this wonderful Tuesday afternoon here in America. All right, we have a great show planned for you today. Hall of Famer, former Marcellus Wiley teammate Andre Reed. We're going to pull up at his crib. Also, later in the show, Chris Harris Jr., soon to be a Los Angeles Charger, Marcellus's old team. He's going to join us. He made the All-Decade team. We're going to pull up at his crib as well. But we're going to start with a story and a topic brought to you by Popeye's Chicken Sandwich, Christian McCaffrey. Now the highest paid running back in all of football. Signed a 4-year extension at around $16 million per season. He is the highest paid running back in NFL history. This is a deserved move. The guy ran for 1,300 yards, had 116 receptions, more than 1,000 receiving yards, is in the argument to be the best running back in football. But we've seen a lot of running backs from Todd Gurley to Le'Veon Bell get these massive contracts and not live up to them. And so that's the question we have for Christian McCaffrey. Will he live up to this massive contract? All right, joining this discussion will be Mark Schlereth, a former Denver Bronco who I believe played with Christian McCaffrey's dad in Denver and has known Christian since he was a child. But we will start with you, Marcellus. Will Christian McCaffrey live up to this record contract?
Unfortunately, he won't. And it's no indictment on his abilities and how great he is. And he knows that I talked to him during the Super Bowl as recently as that, tell him how great I think he is. He's dynamic. He's versatile. He can do it all. But I think what happens with record-setting contracts is that it sets an enormous amount of expectation on a player that they basically can't live up to. Think about what this contract suggests. It suggests that in a career year, Christian McCaffrey is now the highest paid running back ever. But when you see that career year, there's an expectation that you could actually duplicate those numbers. And it's kind of absurd for people to always expect someone to have career years. And I'm not saying that he's tapped out in terms of potential. I'm just saying that the production that he had last year didn't necessarily translate into ultimate team success. So they may tinker with his production in terms of attempts and carries. Then you talk about the fact that this is a guy who's looking to go out there and really have a balancing act that's going to be on Teddy Bridgewater in terms of his production. I'm not completely sold that Teddy Bridgewater will come in there and take enough pressure off the running game or allow Christian McCaffrey to go out there and have the same numbers in terms of reception. So too many unknowns for him to go out there and duplicate this amount of success. So I would say no.
Yeah, I would go ahead and disagree with you, Marcellus. And Christian McCaffrey is such a unique character, such a unique football player. And I think that's what sets him apart. Number one, he can be powerful enough to run between the tackles. He's got tons of yards out there. He's dynamic and fast enough to get outside the tackles. 116 receptions. Do you know that would have led the league in 9 of the last 16 seasons? And he took second in number of receptions only to that of Michael Thomas. So he is a complete player. He's a complete professional. I say this all the time. Just because you play a pro sport doesn't make you a professional. This guy is the ultimate professional from a diet standpoint, exercise standpoint, taking care of his body standpoint. He learned from his father, Eddie McCaffrey, how to do that. So he is just one of those unique characters. And conscientious is, I think, the thing that comes to mind more than anything else when I think about Christian McCaffrey. He wanted to know, how do I become the first-team All-Pro guy instead of second-team All-Pro, which he was in 2018? He went to Ron Rivera and said, what do I have to improve on? Ron Rivera says, you have to be better in pass protection. So he went out and got tapes of Darren Sproles, and he looked at Darren Sproles throughout the course of his career to see exactly how to attack linebackers, how to get in the line of scrimmage, how to take the fight to them so that he could be better. And last year, I think he played about 98% of the snaps for the Carolina Panthers. So I don't see – he's just a unique character. He does not seem to take squared-up, flushed hits. He always seems to be able to protect himself that way. I think the sky's the limit, and I think he deserves to be the highest-paid running back, and I think his production will continue to soar.
I'm going to add to Mark's argument with this. You know, barring injury, I think, Marcellus, he's going to live up to these expectations and live up to this contract for this reason. You have new ownership in Carolina and David Tepper. You have a new head coach in Matt Rhule. And so this is their first big move. We're going to step out here and make Christian McCaffrey the highest paid running back in football. We are now moving on from Cam Newton, and the face of our franchise and the biggest decision we've made is we're going to build around Christian McCaffrey. That type of investment from the higher ups, that goes a long way in determining success. They're going to provide him the offensive line. They're going to provide, if they need a fullback, and whatever they need to do to make sure this guy lives up to the huge bet they placed on him. You'll see this in every walk of life. An organization, whether it be in the newspaper industry or whether it's in the car dealership industry or whatever, they'll go out and make a hire and make a big splash decision, and come hell or high water, they're going to prove that they were right for making this decision. I think for the reasons Mark expressed about this guy's character, you know, being a second-generation NFL player, understanding the journey of the NFL, and just the investment the Carolina Panthers have taken. In an era right now where everybody's saying don't overspend for running backs, they just, in some people's mind, overspent for a running back. Marcellus, I think they're going to do everything in their power to make sure Christian McCaffrey lives up to this contract, because it's in all their best interest.
Yeah, it's in their best interest, and I totally agree with the sentiment that he's an amazing player, amazing leader, amazing person. But these amazing numbers that justified this contract are now going to increase the expectations, and those numbers with the new reset expectations will be nearly impossible to go out there and account for. Think about it. This is a guy who had 403 touches last year. We're talking about 2,392 scrimmage yards. And you're saying that he's going to be able to duplicate that. One, why would you even want to attempt to duplicate that? Because it only led to 5 wins. Then you say, well, Teddy Bridgewater's not Kyle Allen. You're right. But who is Teddy Bridgewater in terms of taking the pressure off the running game, 8, 9, 10 in a box? And I'm not trying to compare him in precedence to other running backs, but there's a commonality and a common denominator between Ezekiel Elliott, David Johnson, high-priced running backs who all of a sudden find that it's a little more difficult despite having the same approach and same ability. So when you look at the numbers, even last year, Christian McCaffrey, first 8 games, they were 5-3. Christian McCaffrey had 5 games over 100 rushing yards. In the next 8, they lose all 8, and he only has 1. So when you're able to focus on him because he's the center of this offense, the core piece, if Teddy doesn't take that pressure off him, the receiving game doesn't take that pressure off him, the numbers will decline.
I don't even think it's about whether the numbers decline or not. They may decline to a degree, but he is such a weapon, such a three-down weapon, and regardless where he is on the football field, he can line up outside the numbers at receiver, in the slot at the receiver. He can carry it out of the backfield, between the tackles, outside. He is such a versatile player that every time you line up as a defense, the first thing you have to do when you break your defensive huddle is find 22. Where is he and how are we going to deal with him? And that becomes such a valuable asset as you open this thing up. I don't know what Teddy Bridgewater is going to be either. I don't think anybody does at this point, but I do know what Christian McCaffrey is, and he is an offensive weapon, and those offensive weapons have an effect, a complementary effect on everybody on that football team, and that's why he's valued, and that's why he's worth the money.
Look, I've seen marriages between a coach, a running back, and an organization work beautifully. I saw it with Dick Vermeil and Priest Holmes in Kansas City. You could argue, we saw it with Dick Vermeil and Marshall Faulk in St. Louis. Matt Rhule, a big part of this decision-making to pay this guy, he's going to make it work. I think this organization's all in on Christian McCaffrey. He's the modern-day Marshall Faulk. He's headed into the peak, the prime of his career. The time to give him this money and to strike and to live up to these expectations right now, this is the right kid, right investment. I think it's going to happen. All right, we're going to keep it moving here. Thank you, Mark. We're going to move on to a Hall of Famer, legendary Buffalo Bill, legendary Marcellus Wiley teammate. Or is he better known for being Jim Kelly's teammate and Thurman Thomas' teammate? We'll find out. Andre Reed from his crib. That's my dog. Yourself from the crib, Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley. Speak for yourself, presented by Hyundai. All right, it's time to go out to San Diego and pull up at Andre Reed's crib, the Hall of Fame NFL player, former Buffalo Bills star. Actually looks better now than he did as a little kid, according to this picture. at least your hair looks better now.
That's terrible.
All right, let's get right to Marcellus and Andre's Buffalo Bills. They made a big offseason move acquiring Stephon Diggs from the Minnesota Vikings. Andre, get us rolling. Do you think Stephon Diggs will have a huge impact for your Buffalo Bills?
Doubt about it. I think, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott have been trying to build this team around Josh Allen. There's no doubt about that. You know, bringing him in to the fold is going to be a big plus for them getting the ball downfield even more. I mean, who do you double now? Do you double him? Do you double John Brown? Cole Beasley has the middle in there, does what I used to do. Kind of reminds me of Jim Kelly passing to me, James, and Don Beebe. Maybe quite not like that, but it's a three-headed monster, and they have really a lot of confidence in Devin Singletary being the running back. And I think now that Tom Brady is out of the division now, the Bills are supposed to win the division this year. Have to go out and play. So, again, it's all about putting those right pieces in the puzzle together. And I think, Stephon, who's a proven veteran, he's done it in Minnesota, is only going to boost their – is going to get their points per game up. Their offense is going to be revamped. And I'm looking forward to it, no doubt.
Yeah, I mean, on top of all the production that you mentioned and how he's going to fit in and assist Josh Allen in his growth, I think that his mental, his moxie, his swag is going to be well received in this locker room. And I could go back to a critical moment last year. We all saw it, the meltdown in Houston in terms of those last waning minutes when they needed somebody who was a dog who just said, either I'm going to catch this ball or, more importantly, inspire you guys to go out there and do your job to the fullest. And that meltdown, the fact that Houston had that dog in terms of Deshaun Watson and others, and Buffalo didn't seem to have that. I know they were green for that moment in terms of Josh Allen being a quarterback first time in the playoffs, but that was a game they should have won if they just would have had someone with this type of moxie, and I think they're going to get it.
Let me ask both of you a follow-up, but I want to start with you, Andre. A wide receiver going from the indoor stadium in Minnesota to playing outdoors in Buffalo, will that be an adjustment for Stephon Diggs?
It's going to be somewhat of an adjustment. I mean, these guys are professionals. He talked about, being that big dog a couple years ago. He did it against a New Orleans. You can't catch against New Orleans. It doesn't matter really to me. I don't think it's for the weather. He just got to go out and play like he knows how to play and expect that in certain situations and a lot of situations this year, he's going to be the top guy. And again, it'll open up a lot of things for everybody else. And, I don't think, receivers nowadays really don't think about the weather and, I came from an indoor place or not. Somewhat of a little bit of adjusting, but I think he's going to be fine with that. That's not going to be a big deal.
Yeah, it's always an adjustment, no matter what the weather conditions are. You play in warm weather, you got to be careful not to spend it all too early or, you'll be fatigued for the latter part of the game. And if you're cold weather, you got to adjust in terms of getting yourself revved up. And obviously there's the sting of catching the ball, and I think it's an easier task than the guy who has to throw the football, but seems like Josh Allen has adjusted to that as well. So no matter what conditions you're in, it's never perfect. There's always some type of adjustment to make, and I think he's just going to make it and move forward.
Yeah.
Hey, both of you guys have seen a lot more of Josh Allen than I have. I didn't spend last year watching a lot of Buffalo Bills games. I'm skeptical of Josh Allen. Tell me why he's the right quarterback for Stephon Diggs, a guy who can be a bit needy and clash with Kirk Cousins.
Well, I think he's got that mentality. You know, Josh Allen, they brought him in a couple years ago, blue collar guy, went to Wyoming, not the greatest weather there either. And they've been looking for a guy to be like a so-called Jim Kelly for the last 4 years. And I've got to know him personally the last 3-4 years. And I've seen the maturity. I've seen him grow through the good times when he has good games, through the times when he had a good game. And really, it stems from, you know, the coaching staff. The coaching staff have that confidence in him that he can get the job done. And bringing in these players, you know, on offense and Stephon, and they really believe in Cole Beasley. They believe in John Brown. It's only going to bode well for him and his confidence even more to push this team. Again, like Marcellus said, last year against Houston, there were a couple plays, a drive or two away from winning that game. They needed that guy to maybe be the, you know, the difference maker in that game. And Stephon Diggs is to me is the difference. So more confidence for Josh. And, you know, I expect them to.
Marcellus, go ahead and jump in.
Hey, for me, I think if you just look at the resumes, there are two glaring differences, and it may be unfair to Kirk Cousins, but it is what it is. If you're Stephon Diggs, you look at Josh Allen and say, oh, okay, he looks like a winner in terms of record, in terms of what he's done. First year, only wins 5 games, doubles that the next year in a short career, already won double-digit 10 games as a starter in the NFL. More importantly, he can throw it from end zone to end zone. I mean, goal line to goal line. And Stephon Diggs, he had an issue with just being out there open and didn't feel like Kirk Cousins would pull the trigger or necessarily had the capabilities of pulling the trigger. And we know that Kirk did, but he had to take the governor off of his game. And you don't have to take the governor off with Josh Allen. He'll run the ball, he'll extend plays, and more importantly, he can throw the ball in any condition.
Marcellus, we've lost Andre Reed. The connection went bad. There was one other question I wanted to ask both of you. Andre seems very confident that Buffalo, in the absence of Tom Brady, is going to step up and be the dominant team in the AFC East. Do you share that confidence that Buffalo will rise with the absence of Tom Brady?
I believe in Buffalo, Bills Mafia, but no, I don't. I'm probably going to sound just like the general manager in Buffalo, Brandon Bean, when he said, it's still the Patriots division to lose until we go up there and beat them and snatch this away from them. You got to remember that their mindset in New England is a little different than most teams in terms of how do they approach a ball game. They look at it where more games in the NFL are lost than won. Think about that. They don't go out there and completely flex and risk all of their assets in an effort to win a game. They just take advantage of your mistakes. So they know that more games are going to be lost than won. They play their game, and then they take advantage of those 2 or 3 key moments. I still think that they put themselves in that same position. Matt Castle, Jimmy G, you could talk about Jacoby Brissett. Anybody that's been the quarterback for the New England Patriots has had to adapt to that philosophy, and it wins ball games. So until they change their mindset, which I know they won't, that culture and that mentality is going to allow them to still be in a success and a place to contend.
All right, stick around. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be joined by Bucky Brooks, and we're going to go back to Christian McCaffrey. A very interesting question. Who's more valuable, Christian McCaffrey or Derrick Henry, the guy who carried Tennessee in the playoffs? Speaking of Yourself from the Crib, presented by Hyundai. More after this. Welcome back to Speaking of Yourself from the Crib. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley on this wonderful Tuesday afternoon. Thanks for joining us. All right, we're going to go out to Bucky Brooks's crib. He's going to join us to help us talk more about Christian McCaffrey. And we have a very interesting question here. Who's more valuable to their team, Christian McCaffrey or Derrick Henry in Tennessee? All right, let's take a look at the numbers. Derrick Henry rushed for more yards, 1,540 yards to McCaffrey's 1,387. McCaffrey outdistances him in receiving yards by a mile. They both have the same number of TDs. McCaffrey more touches. Obviously, the Tennessee Titans made the playoffs. The Carolina Panthers did virtually nothing. They lost Cam Newton early in the year. This is a really difficult question for me, so I'm going to pass the ball to you all first. Marcellus, who's more valuable, Christian McCaffrey or Derrick Henry?
It's Derrick Henry. Now, the question is, who's more valuable, not who's better? And because the question is, who's more valuable, it's the guy who had the individual success, was the engine of their team, and that translated into their team success. And that's how I use the materials to say that it's Derrick Henry. Now, I looked at our little breakdown of the numbers, and we didn't talk about team success so much in that. And obviously, a team that goes to the AFC Championship game on the back of Derrick Henry has an advantage over Christian McCaffrey in their five wins. I think Christian McCaffrey certainly did all he could, and he was amazing last year. But Derrick Henry took it to another level, whereas we didn't even have to fully respect what we were getting out of their passing game in Ryan Tannehill, and you still weren't able to slow down Derrick Henry. So this is just an example of, you take both of these guys' resumes into the pawn shop last year, and Christian McCaffrey's going to get you a lot back, but Derrick Henry got you much more back in terms of what the team was looking for. So is Derrick.
Oh, come on, Marcellus. No, no, no. Like, the reason it was so easy for Christian McCaffrey to get $16 million is because he's in the company of legends. He's a gold jacket guy when you look at it. More scrimmage yards than Barry Sanders. More rushing yards than Marcus Allen in his first 3 years. More receiving yards than Marvin Harrison, and more receptions than DeAndre Hopkins. The reason they were so quick to give out that money is because they can envision him standing on the steps of Canton and receiving a gold jacket for what he has accomplished. Look, the guy just went to 1,000 Club last year, rushing and receiving yards. The reason he's got his money is because he's a dominant player in the league, and the Carolina Panthers certainly saw the value in paying a guy that is more than just a prototypical running back.
Listen, Bucky, I think you make a great argument. I can't even disagree with it. I really, and I hate to play the fence here, but I have to a little bit. It just depends on your style of offense and your team and who your quarterback is, who your head coach is. Derrick Henry's playing for Mike Vrabel, a defensive coach, a defensive-minded guy. Now Christian McCaffrey playing for Matt Rhule. Because look what he did with Ron Rivera and Norv Turner, an offense that was really trying to fix and trying to get the most out of Cam Newton. Now with Matt Rhule, and this is why earlier in the show I compared this kind of like Dick Vermeil and Marshall Faulk, Dick Vermeil and Priest Holmes. Now when you have an offensive-minded head coach and you have a very versatile running back who can do all the Marshall Faulk-like things, I think Christian McCaffrey will be just as valuable as Derrick Henry. I can't just go to the one loss record because I attribute their one loss record to the injuries to Cam Newton and a defense that I don't think was as good as it needed to be. I can't put any of that on Christian McCaffrey. I think there's some equality here in the value of both. If I had to flip a coin, who's going to have a better 2020 season, I would probably lean toward Christian McCaffrey, but I think there's equal value here. I'm playing the fence, and I hate to do that, but that's what I'm going to do, Marcel. So I'm going to play the fence. They're equal value, but McCaffrey's going to have a better 2020, in my opinion.
Man, you're going to rip your jeans being on that fence like that. Let me tell you this. if you look at what value is price and worth. And look, we're not going to even have a conversation about are they both worth a lot to their teams. Yes, one has a higher price tag than the other. Not going to go down that lane. But if you get Derrick Henry at a cheaper cost than Christian McCaffrey, all of a sudden his value goes up because his price went down. On top of all that, I'm not so certain that you're going to get more out of Christian McCaffrey in terms of the numbers, because you got to remember, everyone knows what's coming from both of these guys. But at least when you saw it with Derrick Henry, no one was able to stop it. This coming year with Christian McCaffrey is going to be the test to see if they can stop it. Thank God Teddy Bridgewater's in the building to take some of the pressure off of him. But Derrick Henry did it last year in the transition of quarterbacks, and when he really didn't have great quarterback play. There was a time when Kyle Allen was playing adequate for Christian McCaffrey, and they looked like they could make some noise. That quickly went south. So it's a lot more to prove what Christian McCaffrey would do in 2020 versus what Derrick Henry was doing, including the playoffs when we saw him coming and still couldn't stop him.
Oh, look, he's an unstoppable force, arguably one of the best running backs in the National Football League in terms of just being a blunt force trauma type producer. However, I'm going to hit Marcellus where it hurts. Marcellus, when you were with the Chargers and you saw LaDainian Tomlinson each and every week, and LaDainian impacting the game, not only as a runner, but as a receiver, from a defensive standpoint, it is hard to slow down someone like that. And when Jason Whitlock brings up Priest Holmes and Marshall Faulk, that's the category that you have to put Christian McCaffrey. Really, he's not a running back. He's a playmaker. He's an offensive weapon. He's so good catching the ball out the backfield that you have to use nickelbacks on him, but he can run the ball against loaded boxes. Look, there are a handful of running backs in this league that are these hybrid players that people are falling in love with. Christian McCaffrey got paid. The next ones that we'll see get paid will be Alvin Kamara, Saquon Barkley. Right now, when you're a running back, you have to be able to do more. Christian McCaffrey just opened up the floodgates for running backs to start getting paid like they should be.
Bucky's starting to win me over, Marcellus. I got to keep it real. When I just think about where the NFL is, think about where the NFL is, though. Because what I think Derrick Henry is an updated version of Jerome Bettis. Jerome Bettis, Marshall Faulk played at the same time. Marshall Faulk was an MVP of the league at that time because of his versatility, catching the ball out of the backfield, running. Now, put Marshall Faulk in this modern era, and it's great what Derrick Henry has done, but I think it's probably more sustainable what Christian McCaffrey brings to the table in this modern NFL. Both of these guys, Teddy Bridgewater, Ryan Tannehill, might be the same type people. What would be a better asset for Bridgewater or Ryan Tannehill, a guy that can catch the ball out of backfield and make that kind of magic? Or is it a tank like Derrick Henry? I just think in this modern NFL, Marcellus, what McCaffrey brings to the table is more sustainable. That's where the league is headed and is at right now.
Look, the league headed there. The league already been there. League did that before. I play with LT, and I'm glad you brought him up. And you know, in his first 4 years, how many winning seasons? One. Our first year with LT, we won 5 games. I saw him win 4 games. Like, I love this conversation because I'm not slighting neither one of these guys, but one of them translates a little differently. One's a king of one, and one's a jack of all trades. And Derrick Henry coming downhill, the physics of that has not been stopped yet. We saw one game last year where he stopped it. It was the AFC Championship game where he didn't necessarily have all the surrounding pieces supporting him. But I love Christian McCaffrey. He's going to ball out. But all that, you got him here, you got him there. Is that going to create the chain movement? Is that going to create the tempo changes you need? Is that going to dictate the time of possession you need? I've just seen it before, and I've seen it not work, and I've seen it work. But he's going to ball, but is the team going to reap those benefits? That's yet to be seen.
Well, see, now here's the thing, and this is going to go against probably about a year of arguments that I've had on the show at quarterback talking about Cam Newton. Well, let's be honest right now. Christian McCaffrey is now going to play with a quick rhythm passer and Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater is going to afford Christian McCaffrey more opportunities to be more impactful in the passing game. Well, Cam Newton may have enabled Christian McCaffrey to get big yards as a runner. Teddy Bridgewater is going to allow us to see what Christian McCaffrey can fully do in the passing game, screen game, option routes, all of the other stuff that really exploits the mismatches that he can create on the perimeter against defenses and defenders that don't have the athleticism to deal with him. Teddy Bridgewater is going to help Christian McCaffrey play at an MVP level. And we will look back at this contract and we will begin to view running backs the way that we always should have, very valuable parts of an offensive puzzle.
Thank you, Bucky. Great job. All right, we got to keep it moving.
Thanks, brother.
We're going to go to the most unbelievable story on the NFL's all-decade team, the undrafted cornerback that became one of the best players of the 2010s. Speak for Yourself from the Crib, brought to you by Hyundai. We'll be joined by Chris Harris Jr.
That's my dog.
Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the Crib. Time to pull up at Chris Harris Jr.'s crib. Speak for Yourself presented to you by Hyundai. All right, let's go out to Chris Harris Jr. He made the all-decade team. I've actually been following this guy's career since 2007 when he was a Kansas Jayhawk. But you built this entire career in Denver. You make the all-decade team. You win a Super Bowl. You make Pro Bowls, all-pro teams. And now you're leaving the nest and joining the Los Angeles Chargers. How difficult was it for you, Chris, to make this move, to leave Denver where you've had all this success and now start a new level of a new transition in your career? How difficult was it?
It was very difficult. We definitely laid our roots there, leaving all those fans and all the people that's just been watching me over the last 9 years. It definitely was hard, but I'm excited to go to L.A., man, join the Chargers. They got a lot of great pieces there, and I'm looking forward to joining those guys.
Yeah, I'm glad you said a lot of great pieces, because the addition of you along with Derwin James being healthy this year, Hayward, Bosa, Ingram, sounds like the best defense in the league. You agree?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I agree, man. All we got to do is just put in that work, get that chemistry. And just really, really, that's all it takes, man. Just making sure we're all on the same page. And I just got the iPad, so I've been studying as much as I can to try to make sure when we do get the Clarence to show up and to work together, that I'm caught up.
Yeah, you changed teams, but you still got a familiar foe in Patrick Mahomes. And I'm looking at your addition to the secondary and all those names back there. You guys built to stop Mahomes?
I think so, man. You can never have enough DBs. And in order to stop a good quarterback, you got to have great pass rush. And I think with our D-line that we got with Bosa, Ingram, Ben Linval Joseph that we just added, and all the other pieces, young pieces that they got, you got to have a D-line. And as long as we're coordinated as a secondary, we're definitely going to try to make it hard for them.
Man, I truly respect you, Chris, and your road. I went to a small school, second rounder, and I understand how the grind looks, but you went from undrafted to the all-decade team. Here I am. I'm happy I won Player of the Week one time, and you are on the all-decade team, man. Tell me about that road.
Man, it was definitely a hard way, man. Signing $2,000 signing bonus that I had with Denver, being the last one picked up. that whole time, man, I made the team on special teams, and I knew that was the way to get myself in the door. And then by week five, I was on the field playing defense. So I just knew there were steps to be able to get on the field. And then from there, I wasn't going to let them take me off the field. And that was my goal, is to just be consistent. And that's what I've been trying to do.
Now, I had a roommate, Pat Williams, who was undrafted as well. So I need you to keep it real.
Yeah.
When you're undrafted, were you thinking special teams or were you thinking all-decade team? Because I know how my boy Pat was thinking.
I was thinking special teams at that time, man, for sure. And then as I continue to just build my legacy, we went to Super Bowls, going to Pro Bowls, all pros, then I'm like, shoot, I might as well go try to get this decade Hall of Fame. And that's what I'm striving for now, is just continue to just all be 100% all in on football. And man, I'm not going to put any expectations on myself because I've already exceeded them. So if I go continue to work and continue to believe that I can go get this Hall of Fame, that's what I'm going to keep doing.
Chris, why have you been underestimated almost since high school. Really only one Division I offer coming out of college. You didn't even make all Big 12 starting 4 years in Kansas. Undrafted, not invited to the combine. Why have people underestimated you your entire career?
I don't know, man. It's always been my story. It's just the underdog story. I just had to take the hard way. I never had anybody willing to just always go out there and just go for me. You know what I mean? Or having tons of offers, I didn't get that. Or having tons of teams pick me up after college, I didn't get that. So I've always been a person that I've always had to make a way myself. Even in Denver, they tried to take my spot down there every year. So I had to always overcome that, be able to solidify myself. And that's what it just took, man. It just had to take the hard way.
I said at the top, I go all the way back to your days in Kansas. I was in Kansas City when you came to Lawrence, Kansas in 2007. Y'all went 12-1. It was one of the most incredible things I've ever seen in college football. And one of the really most incredible things was they had you at one corner, Aqib Talib at the other corner, and longtime Charger safety Daryl Stuckey at the safety position. Were you aware of how good y'all were at that time?
Well, of course, at that time, we knew Aqib Talib was great. I mean, he was already All-American the year before. I knew Stuckey was a great safety and definitely had a chance to make it to the NFL. But, we never knew that we'd all, sooner or later, be all in the same Pro Bowls, win Super Bowls together, and me and Talib. And so it's definitely crazy, man. But we knew that we were really good because I know we ranked pretty high my freshman year in our secondary. So I knew that we were pretty nice back there.
Have you talked to Aqib Talib since making the All-Decade team? And was he happy or was he jealous?
Oh, man, I talked to him, man. That's my big brother, man. That's truly my big brother, man. I love Aqib Talib. He's a guy that's always looked out for me, always just welcomed me with open arms, man. And he's definitely upset, as he should be. I mean, the guy had 10 touchdowns this decade. They could have definitely added another spot for him at the corner position. I definitely think he deserves it. And so I was upset with him, too.
All right, I want to go back to Kansas again and talk, because that what y'all accomplished was just incredible. What Mark Mangino accomplished was incredible. Yeah. And I mean this respectfully. I'm a big guy just like Mark Mangino. If Mark Mangino, true or false, if Mark Mangino were 180 pounds, he would be on the same level as Nick Saban. True or false?
I'd have to go true. He's a great coach, man. I don't know why he's not coaching now. It just doesn't make any sense. I mean, he's a great coach. He knows football. He knows how to motivate players. So, I mean, I think he's been punished enough, man. I think he's been, I mean, that was 2010 when he got fired. So I think it's definitely time for him to get back in the seat.
I want to ask you this because I know you're a thoughtful person. You know, your reputation in Kansas was ideal student athlete. What have you learned about yourself during this quarantine? Because it's been a time for people to reflect and reconnect with their family. I think you and your wife have a kid. What have you learned about yourself during this quarantine?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I think it's just not to waste that time, man. I think for me, it's just making every time valuable, even though we're stuck at home, just trying to find something to do and not be lazy. So that's something that I've been trying to do, man. If I can just find something in a house that might need some tuning up or anything, man, just trying to find something to do.
Have you binged anything on Netflix or Amazon that you can tell us about? Maybe give us a recommendation. Anything we can watch on Amazon or Netflix?
Money Heist, man, Netflix. You got to look into that.
What is it about? Give us a quick description. We'll let you go.
It's about, okay, you got it's about bank robbing and things like that. I don't want to get too far into it, but it's the bank robbing, stealing. It's a lot of action in it.
Boy, you don't sound better than
Tiger King.
Hey, man, I don't want to tell you too much. I gotta go in there and watch it, man. Just take my word for it.
Oh, man.
All right, well, my recommendation is check out Tiger King on Netflix. Good luck to you, man, with the charges. That. Maybe you can make a... Oh.
Yeah, that was Tiger incredible. King from Oklahoma, right.
Maybe you got another... Oh, that's right. That's all right,
brother.
That's right. All right, thank you, Chris. Chris Harris, all-decade team from Tulsa, Oklahoma. I should have asked Chris about Pastor Michael Todd in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Maybe we'll do that next time. All right, Uncle Jimmy's just around the corner. We got a little extra time, so we'll hear some deep thoughts from Uncle Jimmy about Christian McCaffrey, who's more valuable, he or Derrick Henry. Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. More after this. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself from the crib. Jason Whitlock, Marcellus Wiley. What an awesome Tuesday afternoon. All right, it's our favorite time of the day. Time to go out to Uncle Jimmy's crib. His plush one bedroom or that plush studio apartment you're living in Bel Air. Hey, Uncle Jimmy. Man.
You know what? It's a hojo is what it is. It's a hojo.
Oh, no. Ain't nobody in there. Nobody within the forces.
We ain't touching that. Do you have a big dummy of the day?
Of course I do. It's you. Sitting up here talking about, I'm going to straddle the fence on this one. You know that they charge people for that, right? It's called personal property damage. Pick a side, fella. Come on, man.
Poor fence.
That was a very tough question. Right? Who's more valuable, Christian McCaffrey or Derrick Henry? But all right, first let's start. Do you have any thoughts on Christian McCaffrey? He just signed the biggest contract for a running back in NFL history. Highest paid running back in the NFL. Will he live up to the expectations, Uncle Jimmy?
Listen here, man. If I may, I'd like to quote one of the founding fathers of America, Don King. When he said, only in America can a man go to bed a Christian McCaffrey and wake up a Rocky Marciano. Only in America. Okay? Now, look here, man, I could be wrong, but didn't we just have the conversation that this is a quarterback-driven league? Didn't we say that the running back was outdated? But then all of a sudden, all of a sudden, we heard about how much money Todd Gurley was making, how much money Ezekiel Elliott was making, and everybody lost their mind. Now, all of a sudden, we get one good running back, one good little white running back, ain't had a good white running back since Rocky Blyer, and all of a sudden, folks want to start opening up their checkbook wider than you open up your mouth eating truffle chicken at Wally's. Okay? But meanwhile, we got a boy down in Tennessee by the name of Derrick Henry standing 6'8", 290 pounds, running a 4.240, barefoot. The boy ain't never owned a pair of shoes until his junior year at college. Now, Christian McCaffrey's check is making his check look like a damn stimulus check. Now, you know they're going to have to change that logo down in Carolina, right? You know they're going to have to change that logo from the Black Panther to the White Lion King, right? You know they're going to have to change that, right?
Look, are you aware of his numbers? The man rushed for 1,300 yards, caught passes for 1,000 yards. I think he justified the paycheck. And I don't know if anybody broke the news to you, but your stimulus check is going towards child support. Have you heard about that, Uncle Jimmy?
First of all, you all in my personal business, and it wasn't a question. And you know what? You ain't got to worry about your check going nowhere because you ain't got no child support, okay? Guess what? You got to get some to get some.
Yeah, that's a good thing. That's one of them good problems. That's one of them good problems.
Yeah, right.
All right, the internet Oh, the internet agrees with me. They have him at an all-star. Marcellus has him at a GOAT status.
Get away.
Got him at an all-star. He's got some work to do. All right, that's it for us today. We'll see you tomorrow.